أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله، الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله، الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله، الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله، الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله، الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله، الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله، الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله، الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، آمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How is everyone? I hope everyone's doing well, inshallah. Right. So, is everyone ready to start another session, inshallah? You guys excited? Inshallah. That's nice, alhamdulillah. Alright. And how is everyone's Ramadan going? Is everyone able to take benefit of this month, inshallah? Reading a lot of Quran and doing a lot of good deeds. Inshallah, that's nice, mashallah. Alright. So, we're almost like halfway done with Ramadan this year. And we only have like half the Ramadan left, almost. So, we should take benefit of this time because, you know, it's like sometimes it's only an opportunity for now, because you never know if you're gonna live till next year, till next Ramadan, or even till the next second. So we should take benefit of this and the 15 days we have left, or how many ever we have left, I don't remember exactly, but we should take benefit of it, right? If we weren't able to take benefit of the first few days, then now is the time where we can take full benefit, and hopefully we might be done from school by now. So you have even more time to do good deeds, inshallah, and earn a lot of reward. So don't worry if the first few days were like not that much. This is the best time to do it now, inshallah. Right? And then after a few days, the last 10 nights will start, right? And we can find the night of power, Laylat al-Qadr, from it, because we know that one night is the night of power, right, in which the Quran was revealed. So that night, there's a lot of reward, right? So make sure that the last 10 days, you have a lot of energy and you have like a lot of things which you can do during the month, like good deeds. So let's say you weren't able to pray Tarawih or anything. So try to go, especially in the last 10 days, and try to find the night of power. Pray and do a lot of good deeds, because the reward is so much. And there's a whole surah Qadr, right? And it says that the night of power is better than 1,000 months. So the worship you do in that night, it's like you've been worshiping for 1,000 months, more than that. So take benefit of it and power up, do lots of good deeds, and inshallah, it's worth it at the end. And it's only a month, right? We only have this 1 month for Ramadan. And then after that, we're going back in our daily routines. So inshallah, let's take benefit and let's tell everybody around us to also take benefit of this month. Inshallah. All right. So today, we have, let's move on to our hifz, the memorization of Surah An-Naziat. So how is everyone doing with the memorization? Are you guys able to keep up with the memorization? Are you able to memorize what we have previously done? It's going good, mashallah, that's nice. All right. So today we have from ayah number 26 till ayah number 30 for our memorization. So when I recite the ayahs, please repeat after me. And I'll recite them a few times. And then inshallah we will move on. So is everyone ready? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن في ذلك لعبرة لمن يخشى إن في ذلك لعبرة لمن يخشى إن في ذلك لعبرة لمن يخشى إن في ذلك لعبرة لمن يخشى. Okay, I just wanted to make sure, hopefully everybody has the Quran open with them, so it's going to be easier for you to follow along with me, inshallah. Alright, let's move on to the next ayah. أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء بناها 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 رفع سمكها فسواها رفع سمكها فسواها رفع سمكها فسواها رفع سمكها فسواها وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها Okay, so I want to go over the translation of these ayahs before we continue, and then inshallah we'll move on. Alright, so ayah number 26. So I'll recite the ayah, and you can recite after me, and then I'll do the translation for the ayah. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى Indeed, there is a lesson for him who fears Allah. أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءُ بَنَاهَا Is your creation more difficult or that of the sky? He has built it. رفع سمكها فسواها He has raised its height, then made it proper. وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها And darkened its night and brought forth its daylight. والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها And after that, he spread out the earth. Okay. So now, what we will do is we will read each ayah one time from the beginning of Surah Naziat, just so that everything will connect together. And it's also going to, it's like a quick recap of the previous ayahs to for you, inshallah. So let's begin. والنازعات غرقا والناشطات نشطا والسابحات سبحا فالسابقات سبقا فالمدبرات أمرا يوم ترجف الراجفة تتبعها الرادفة قلوب يومئذ واجفة أبصارها خاشعة يقولون أئنا لمردودون في الحافرة أإذا كنا عظاما نخرة قالوا تلك إذا كرة خاسرة فإنما هي زجرة واحدة فإذا هم بالساهرة هل أتاك حديث موسى إذ ناداه ربه بالوادي المقدس طوى اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى فقل هل لك إلى أن تزكى وأهديك إلى ربك فتخشى فأراه الآية الكبرى فكذب وعصى ثم أدبر يسعى فحشر فنادى فقال أنا ربكم الأعلى فأخذه الله نكال الآخرة والأولى إن في ذلك لعبرة لمن يخشى أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء بناها رفع سمكها فسواها وأغطش ليلها وأخرج دحاها والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها Alright, so these were the ayahs for today, and inshallah, what you need to do this week, or what you should do, inshallah, will benefit you a lot, is to memorize these ayahs and revise the previous ones, inshallah. Alright, so now let's move on to our next session, and that is, it's learning about the companions. So let's see which companion do we have today. So I hope everybody enjoys, and I hope everybody's ready to start. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear friends, today we have been learning about a wonderful companion of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is Ikrama ibn Abi Jahl. Does this name sound familiar to any of you? If not, then today you'll be learning about him. So let's get started. Ikrama ibn Abi Jahl. This is his story. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made public his call to guidance and truth, he was held in high regard by the Quraysh because there was a wealthy and noble lineage. Some, like Ikrama ibn Abi Jahl, like Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Mus'ab ibn Umayr, and other sons of noble families in Mecca became Muslims. Ikrama, too, might have followed their example, were if it not for his father Abu Jahl. was the foremost prominent of shirk and was one of the greatest tyrants of Mecca. Through torture, he sorely tested the faith of the early believers, but they remained steadfast. He used every strategy to make them waver, but they continued to affirm the truth. Ikrama found himself defending the leadership and authority of his father as he pitted himself against the Prophet. His animosity toward the Prophet and persecution of his followers and his attempts to block the progress of Islam and Muslims won the admiration of his father. At Badr, Abu Jahl led the Meccan polytheists in the battle. He swore by Allat and Uzza that he would not return to Mecca unless he crushed Muhammad. At Badr, he sacrificed 3 camels to these goddesses. He drank wine and had the music of smuggling girls to spur the Quraysh on to fight. Abu Jahl was among the first to fall in the battle. His son, Ikrama, saw him as spears pierced his body and heard him let out his last cry of agony. Ikrama returned to Mecca, leaving behind the corpse of the Quraysh chieftain, his father. He wanted to bury him, but the crushing defeat they suffered made this impossible. From that day, the fire of hatred burned even more fiercely in the heart of Ikrama. The fire of hatred was against Prophet Muhammad. Others, whose father were killed at Badr, also became more hostile to Muhammad and his followers. This eventually led to the Battle of Uhud. At Uhud, Ikrama was accompanied by his wife, Umm Hakim. She and other women stood behind the battle lines, beating their drums, urging the Quraysh onto battle, and upbraiding any horsemen who felt inclined to flee. Leading the right flank of the Quraysh was Khalid ibn Walid. On the left was Ikrama ibn Abi Jahl. And they both became Muslims afterwards. The Quraysh inflicted heavy losses on the Muslims and felt that they had avenged themselves for the defeat of Badr. This was not, however, the end of the state of conflict. At the Battle of the Ditch, the Quraysh Mushrikun besieged Medina. It was a long siege. The resources and the patience of the Mushrikun was wearing out. Ikrama, feeling the strain of the siege, saw a place where the ditch, dug by the Muslims, were relatively narrow. With a gigantic effort, he managed to cross. A small group of Quraysh followed him. It was a foolhardy undertaking. One of them was immediately killed, and it was only by turning on his heels that Ikrama managed to save himself. 9 years after his hijrah, the Prophet returned with thousands of his companions to Mecca. The Quraysh saw them approaching and decided to leave the way open for them because they knew the Prophet had given instructions to his commanders not to open hostilities. Ikra and some others, however, went against the consensus of the Quraysh and attempted to block the progress of the Muslim forces. Khalid ibn Walid, now Muslim, met and defeated them in a small engagement during which some of Ikra's men were killed and others who could fled. Among them who escaped was Ikrama himself. Any standing influence that Ikrama may have done was now completely destroyed. The Prophet, peace be upon him, entered Mecca and gave a general pardon and amnesty to all Quraysh who entered the sacred mosque, or who stayed in their houses, or who went to the house of Abu Sufyan, the paramount Quraysh leader. However, he refused to grant amnesty to a few individuals whom he named. He gave orders that they should be killed, even if they were found under the covering of the Kaaba. At the top of this list was Ikrama ibn Abi Jahl. When Ikrama learned of this, he slipped out of Medina in disguise and headed for the Yemen. Umm Hakim, Ikrama's wife, then went to the camp of the Prophet. With her was Hind ibn Utba, the wife of Abu Sufyan and the mother of Muawiyah, and about 10 other women who wanted to pledge allegiance to the Prophet. At the camp were 2 of his wives, his daughter Fatima, and some women of the Abdul Muttalib clan. Hind was the one who spoke. She was guilty and ashamed of what she had done to Hamza, the Prophet's uncle, at the Battle of Uhud. O Messenger of God, she said, praise be to God, who has made manifest the religion he has chosen for himself. I beseech you out of the bonds of kinship to treat me well. I am now a believing woman who affirms the truth of your mission. She then unveiled herself and said, I am Hind, the daughter of Utba, O Messenger of God. Welcome to you, replied the Prophet, peace be upon him. By God, O Prophet, continued Hind, there is not a house on earth that I want to destroy more than your house. Now, there is no house on earth that is so dearly wished to honor and raise in glory than yours. Umm Hakim then got up and professed her faith in Islam and said, O Messenger of God, Ikramah has fled from you to the Yemen out of fear that you will kill him. Grant him security, and God will grant you security. He is secure, promised the Prophet. Umm Hakim set out immediately in search of Ikramah. Accompanying her was a Greek slave. On the way, the Greek slave tried to harm her, but she managed to put him off until he came to a settlement of Arabs. She sought their help against him. They tied him up and kept him. Umm Hakim continued on her way until he finally found Ikramah on the coast of the Red Sea in the region of Dahanam. He was negotiating transport with a Muslim seaman who was saying to him, Be pure and sincere, and I will transport you. How can I be pure? Asked Ikramah. Say, I testify there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is a messenger of Allah. I have fled from this very thing, said Ikramah. At this point, Umm Hakim came up to Ikramah and said, O cousin, I have come to you from the most generous of men, the most righteous of men, the best of men, from Muhammad ibn Abdullah. I have asked him for an amnesty for you. This he has granted, so do not destroy yourself. Have you spoken to him? Yes, I have spoken to him, and he has granted you amnesty, she assured him, and he returned with her. She told him about the attempt of their Greek slave to dishonor her, and Ikramah went directly to the Arab settlement, where he lay bound and killed him. At one of the resting places, on the way back, Ikramah wanted to sleep with his wife, but she refused and said, I am a Muslima, and you are a mushrik. Ikramah was totally taken back and said, Living without you and without your sleeping with me is an impossible situation. As Ikramah approached Mecca, the Prophet, peace be upon him, told his companions, Ikramah ibn Abi Jahl shall come to you as a believer and as a muhajir, a refugee. Do not insult his father. Insulting the dead causes grief to the living and does not reach the dead. Ikramah and his wife came up to where the Prophet was sitting. The Prophet got up and greeted him. Muhammad, said Ikramah, Umm Hakim has told me that you have granted me an amnesty. That's right, said the Prophet, you are safe. So what do you invite? Asked Ikramah. I invite you to testify that there is no God but Allah, and that I am the servant of Allah and his messenger to Islamic prayer, pay the zakat, and carry out all the obligations of Islam. By God, responded Ikramah, you have only called what is true, and you have only commanded what is good. You lived among us before the start of your mission, when you were the most trustworthy of us in speech, and the most righteous of us. Stretching forth his hands, he said, I testify that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. And the Prophet then instructed him to say, I call on God and those present here to witness that I am a Muslim and who is a Mujahid and Muhajir. This Ikramah repeated and then said, I ask you to ask God for forgiveness for me for all the hostility I directed against you and for whatever results I expressed in your presence or absence. The Prophet replied this with a prayer, O Lord, forgive him for all the hostility he directed against me and for all the expeditions he mounted wishing to put out your light. Forgive him for whatever he has said or done in my presence or absence to dishonor me. Ikramah's face beamed with happiness. By God, O Messenger of Allah, I promise that whatever I have spent obstructing the way of God, I shall spend twice as much in his path. In whatever battles I have fought against God's way, I shall fight twice as much in his way. From that day on, Ikramah was committed into the mission of Islam as a brave horseman in the field of battle and a steadfast worshipper who would spend much time in mosques and reading the Book of God. Often, he would place the mushaf on his face and say, The book of my Lord, the words of my Lord. He would cry for the fear of God. Ikramah remained true to his pledge to the Prophet. Whatever battles the Muslims engaged in thereafter, he participated in them. And he was always in the vanguard of the army. The Battle of Yarmouk, he plunged into attack as a thirsty person after cold water on a blistering hot day. In one account in which the Muslims were under heavy attack, Iqra penetrated deep into the ranks of the Byzantines. Khalid ibn Walid rushed up to him and said, "Don't, Ikrama, your death will be a severe blow to the Muslims." "Let us carry on," Khalid said. "Ikrama, not the peak of motivation. You had the privilege of being the messenger of God before this. As for myself and my father, we are among his bitterest enemies. Leave me now to atone for what I have done in the past. I fought the Prophet on many occasions. Shall I now flee from the Byzantines? This shall never be." Then calling out to the Muslims, he shouted, "Who shall pledge to fight until death?" 400 Muslims, including Al-Harith ibn Hisham and Ayyash ibn Abi Rabia, responded to his call. They plunged into the battle and fought heroically without the leadership of Khalid ibn Walid. Their daring attack paved the way for a decisive Muslim victory. When the battle was over, the bodies of 3 wounded Mujahideen lay sprawled on the battleground. Among them were Al-Harith ibn Hisham, Ayyash ibn Abi Rabia, and Ikrama ibn Abi Jahl. That is the story of another one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I hope you like the story and share it with your friends. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Right, so that was a very nice story, and I hope everybody took a lesson from it, because from whatever story we hear, we don't hear stories just to listen to them and enjoy them, but we listen to stories to take a lesson from them. So I hope everybody enjoyed and took a lesson from the story of Ikrama ibn Abi Jahl. So remember one thing, that you know, from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, people weren't the same in the beginning, right? People were different in the beginning. People did not accept Islam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a prophet. But at the end, when they did accept Islam, they were equal in Islam. So it was not like this person, you know, he said this about Islam, and you know, we shouldn't be with him. But everybody's equal. So once a person is a Muslim, he's like any person, any other Muslim. And we know how Abu Jahl was, right? He did not accept Islam, and he was totally against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But his son, right, doesn't matter. His son, when he accepted Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for his forgiveness. So now, as Muslims, right, he is the same thing between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and other companions. He's like any other Muslim. So no matter the past of a person, like how bad it was, at the end, if they're Muslim, then they are all equal, and that we should ask for their forgiveness and forgive them and not worry about their past. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for his forgiveness no matter what he did in the past. All right, so now let's move on to our next session, and that is our good deed session. And let's see what we have from there to learn and apply, inshallah, in our lives and earn more reward from doing good deeds. So I hope everybody is ready, and let's begin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير آمين يا رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I hope and pray that every one of you is in a state of good health and iman, increasing in good deeds each day of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. Today I have a very special, very interesting topic to share with you all. And that is, Quran is my book. We all have been familiar with the Quran, reciting it since our childhood, isn't it? But the point to ponder is, do we really understand the Quran? Do we understand the Quran as we understand the different other books we read? Since childhood, all of us have been reading and understanding many books. Science, maths, computers, all of these books which we study in our school, don't we understand them? We do understand it, right? Because we know there is no point reading a book without understanding it. So dear friends, don't you think we need to understand the Quran as well? Can we ever pass our exams and secure good marks without understanding the subject, whatever may it be, maths, science, computers? Of course, we could not even attempt the test without knowing the subject, right? So dear friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a guidebook, a manual of guidance, so that we may follow it, apply it in our lives, and make our life in this dunya and also in the akhirah beautiful and successful. But imagine, if we do not open that guidance manual, if we do not follow it, if we don't even understand it, what Allah says in that, then how do you think we are going to succeed? Just as we follow a guidance manual in operating machines and electrical equipment, so do we need a manual for effective functioning of our life, the precious life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. For example, if we do not follow the instructions while operating a washing machine, what do you think will happen? Of course, it will not function properly. It will misbehave. It may even get destroyed with improper usage. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. He has blessed us with the gift of life. He has given us this life to make our afterlife a better one. He has given us this single chance to do whatever good we can. This life is a test as to see who amongst us does good and who does not. How merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He has not just created us and left us to wander, but He has given us a guidance manual to live according to it, so that we may succeed, so that we may fulfill the purpose of our life. The Quran is a message from our Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us, and it is about us. You know, the topic of the Quran is mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this Quran for us. It's a special gift to each one of us. But if we only respect this book and then just keep it high above in the shelves, would the purpose of the Quran be served? Of course not. You know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Ibrahim, ayah number 1. Alif lam ra, kitabun anzalnahu ilayka linukhrijan nasa min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Alif lam ra, this is a book which we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you might bring mankind out of darknesses into the light. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this Quran so that it may bring us out of darknesses into the light. This Quran is our lantern. It is the light guiding us towards the straight path and towards success, true success. Imagine if you had received a letter from your best friend, but unfortunately that letter comes to be in a language which you are not familiar with, which you do not know. For example, you receive a letter from your best friend and that letter turns out to be in Spanish. What would you do? Would you just keep the letter inside the envelope and then forget it? Or would you just keep gazing on the letter, trying to understand what it means? Or would you put in some effort to try getting the letter translated and know as to what it means? Of course, you would do the latter thing. You would find ways and means, you would find someone to help you in understanding that letter, because you know that is so special for you. There is no example for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but just imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds, the incomparably great, the Creator, the Sustainer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a message addressed us in the Quran, and each one of us is expected to understand the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can we neglect the message from the Lord of all the worlds, especially addressed to us, isn't it? Maybe we never thought about the Quran this way before. But now we got to know that the Quran is a special message from our Rabb, from our Creator to us. So inshallah, we all will try understanding His message and follow this divine guidance so that we may succeed. Say inshallah. A wonderful hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I would like to share with you on the topic of Quran is, the hadith goes this way, narrated by Usman radiallahu anhu. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The best among you, look at it, the best among you, meaning Muslims, are those who learn the Quran and teach it." Subhanallah, how amazing. Either you be among those who are learning the Quran or those who are teaching it. And then you will be among the best among Muslims. Would not we like to get that title for us? Of course we would. Who would not like to be among the best? So for that, we need to be in either of the categories, inshallah. Let me quickly share with you the five rights of the Quran. There are five rights of the Quran upon us. Number one, belief and honor. That is believing in the Quran and honoring it. Number two, reading and recitation. Reciting the Quran with tartil, with proper pronunciation, with tajweed, the way it is to be recited. Number three, understanding upon the Quran. Look how important it is to understand and reflect upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's verses. Number four, implementing the guidelines of the Quran. Because you know, understanding, reciting, reading is not just sufficient unless you start applying it, implementing it in your life. Because knowledge without action is baseless. It's waste. And lastly, number five, conveying deen. You know, some people are chosen people, special people holding special ranks, and those are the people of the Quran who recite it often, who memorize the Quran, who teach the Quran, who learn the Quran, who understand and apply the Quran. You know, subhanallah. You know, why is it so? Because of the virtue of the Book of Allah, because of the virtue of the Quran. Who amongst us would not like to be among the special people holding special ranks? Of course, we would like to be, right? For that, we need to establish our connection with the Quran, inshallah. Don't you think how exciting would it be to discover and journey through the Quran, to the different surahs, and to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in each of them? Journeying through the Quran is truly an amazing discovery. You get to know so many things. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Jannah, describes us about the Jannah, the blissful life there, and encourages us to be among them, among the people of Jannah. And at some places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us the stories of the people who have passed before us, so that we may take heed, we may not repeat the mistakes that they did. And then at some places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recites to us the stories of the prophets, their lives. And at some places, we have the description of hell, so that we may ask Allah's protection from the hell and abstain from the deeds leading to that destination. And at many places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us to ponder over Allah's creation all around us. Sometimes He tells us about the honeybees, sometimes about the ants, the cattle, the sheep, how everything He created is for our benefit. How each of Allah's creations benefits us. Allah also tells us about the solar system, the sun, the moon, the stars, and how each one of us is in obedience, in complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and benefiting us, alhamdulillah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also warns us from shaitan, our enemy, so that we may not fall prey to his evil traps and ruin ourselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us so many motivations throughout the Quran by giving us examples of those people who have led righteous lives and their result was righteous. And also tells us about those who went astray, who didn't follow the straight path, and how their end was bad. So that we may take heed, we may try to improve ourselves and be among those who are righteous. And inshallah, our end, our result, our destination will be righteous, inshallah, then. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces us to Himself through His beautiful names and attributes. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Qadir, Al-Ghafoor. Each one of them helping us strengthen our relationship with our Creator. So this beautiful book cannot be described entirely in one session. Subhanallah, it is so much. This Quran is mercy for the believers. It gives them the calmness, the satisfaction of heart and happiness, true happiness, eventually leading the one who follows it to the path of eternal success. Imagine if we do not understand this Quran, how great a treasure we are gonna miss. How would we come to know regarding the glad tidings, the warnings, the instructions for better living, the guidelines, if we do not understand this book? How are we going to know that? And you know, Ramadan is the month of Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 185, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنُ هُدَى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. The month of Ramadan is that in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for the people and clear proofs of guidance and criterion. Subhanallah. You know, Ramadan is the month of Quran. So how could our Ramadan be a better one without our connection with the Quran being established? The month of Quran demands us to fulfill the purpose of this Quran. What best could it be than to start learning the Quran right in Ramadan? So what you can do is take small portions of the Quran. For example, let's take juz number 30. You have small surahs there. So you can go recite the Quran, not just blind recitation, not just blind reading, but understand it. The small surahs that you recite in the Salah, like Surah Ikhlas, like Surah Kawthar, Surah Quraysh, Surah Falaq, all of these are very small surahs, just about 4 to 5 ayahs in each surah. So you can just go read the Quran, read these surahs and understand what they mean. You can go through a simple translation of these surahs, no matter how many ayahs, how many verses you are reading. It may be 3, 4, 5, 2, whatever, but try to understand them as well. You can take up this task of understanding the translation of one surah each day from the juz 30. Like you can go for Surah Kawthar one day, and then the next day you can go for Surah Falaq, the next day Surah Masad, likewise. And imagine by the end of Ramadan, you will have, subhanAllah, so many surahs, not just read, but also having understood them. And inshallah, these surahs, when you recite in your salah, you will feel the difference. Because when we simply go on reading something, reciting something without understanding, the feeling is totally different from that which we feel when we realize what we are reciting. When we understand what we are reciting, that will look as if we are talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our salah, if we really understand what we recite. So trying to understand the translation of these surahs will prove really beneficial for you by not just helping you understand the part of Quran, but also improve your salah, improve your concentration and your focus in salah by knowing what you are reciting, inshallah. We have a wonderful activity for you regarding the Quran, alhamdulillah, that's so amazing. And I'm sure you'll truly enjoy doing it. Visit the website, we have posted it there. All you need to do is download the PDF and then take the printout of those 30 cards. In each of the cards is a word from the Quran. Okay, all you have to do is take one word each day and try finding that word in the Quran. For your guidance, the surah number and the ayah number, the verse number is also mentioned in the card. Just get ready with the printouts of all those 30 cards with one word each day. And we also have a chart there on that page, which you can download on a bigger size paper. And stick that chart onto your wall, okay? And keep those 30 cards in one place. Each day, you'll pick one card and find the word from the Quran. And after having accomplished your task, you will stick that word onto the chart. Inshallah, in this way, by the end of Ramadan, you will have all 30 words. But subhanAllah, you have figured out in the Quran. That's a great sense of achievement, inshallah, that you'll gain and confidence, and you will feel the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so close to you. Don't forget to share this activity with your friends and family, and of course, you can sit up with your parents, with your brothers and sisters in doing this activity together, because when we do something together, our enthusiasm and our interest increases, inshallah. So jazakumullahu khairan kathira. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His choicest blessings upon each one of us and help us to make the most of this Ramadan and fulfill the purpose of the Quran by understanding the Quran, by reciting it and applying it in our lives. May Allah choose all of you to be the shining stars of our ummah, representing Islam in the best of ways. Ameen. Barakumullah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So it was another great session, mashallah. And I hope everybody had learned a lot from the session and took, you know, many lessons from the session. And I hope you're all motivated, and I hope you're all looking forward to start memorizing the meaning, the translation of some short surahs of the Quran, inshallah, and slowly you'll be able to memorize the translation of the complete Quran. So remember that she said that the best time is to start right now in Ramadan. So the Quran is revealed in Ramadan, and you can start memorizing the translation in Ramadan, inshallah. And just imagine yourself, you know, praying like any, you know, the 5-day week prayers, but also imagine yourself standing for the Taraweeh prayer and be able to understand what the Imam is reciting. So it won't feel like, you know, okay, I'm standing here and I'm getting tired and I don't even understand what the Imam is saying, but rather you'll be able to understand everything he's saying. And inshallah, this will benefit you a lot. So I really, really recommend that everyone over here should start memorizing the translation of especially the short surahs, which you recite very often, especially in your prayers, like Surah Ikhlas or Surah Nas. And inshallah, this will benefit you a lot. And remember that the best thing is to do it right now. And do not delay things for later. Do things right now at the moment, inshallah. Alright, so now let's move on to our next session. And we have story time now, inshallah. So let's see what we have from our story. And remember that there's also a great lesson from there. So we listen to stories and we can take lessons from them. And inshallah, let's move on. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Asking Allah. One stormy day, three little boys were stuck under a wet tree far from their homes.
What about that cave? Maybe we should go there. It will be more dry than it is here.
Once they got into the cave, Abdul Karim said,
"We will most definitely be more dry in this cave."
They all ran into the cave. Once they were inside, they started drying themselves. Suddenly, a large rock fell near the door of the cave and completely covered it.
"Oh no, we're stuck in this cave and there's no way out,"
said Abdul Hakim, while he and Abdul Karim tried to push away the rock.
It's not moving. We're going to be stuck here forever. Help! Help! Can anyone hear me?
Said Abdul Salim.
Stop it, Abdul Salim. No one can hear us here,
said Abdul Karim.
You are wrong, Abdul Karim. Don't you remember? Allah can see everything because He is Al-Basir, the All-Seeing. But not only can He see us everywhere, He can also hear us anywhere and everywhere, wherever we are, because He is As-Samir, the one who hears everything. Let's ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us by remembering something we've done only for His sake. We also know that Allah is As-Shahid, He is witness over all things. So, let's call Him to witness over something we did only for His sake. No doubt, He, As-Samir, will listen to and answer our prayers,
said Abdul Hakim. Abdul Salim raised his hands in prayer and said,
Ya Allah, who hears everything, please hear my dua. Oh Allah, you know I was a very bad boy once upon a time. I used to bully small kids and snatch their lunch and made them cry. Until one day one of the boys said,
What are you doing? Fear Allah.
I immediately returned his lunch and never ever bullied him or anyone after that. I only and only stopped doing that because of your fear, Ya Rab. I did it for no one else's sake except yours. Please help me, Allah.
Shortly afterwards, a sound came from the large rock, and the boy saw that the rock had moved a little, and there was a little gap on the side.
There's an opening! Alhamdulillah! This is amazing! But it's not enough of a gap to get out from. Abdul Karim, you make dua now,
said Abdul Hakim.
Ya As-Samir, O Allah, the all-hearing one, who hears the call of everyone, hear my call,
said Abdul Karim with his hands raised high in prayer.
Every day I work hard to get milk the goats, along with my school homework. And after much hard work, sometimes I just get one glass of milk, sometimes two. I let Ummi and Abi drink it first. And only after they are all full, I get the rest of my baby brother. Sometimes I get to drink the leftovers. Sometimes there is no leftover. One day, I spent most of my time studying for my test. It was very, very late when I started milking the goat. When I finished collecting a cup of milk, Ummi and Abi were already asleep. Baby Habib was crying in the room next door with hunger. I put baby Habib to sleep with his favorite lullaby. I also told baby Habib that Ummi and Abi do so much for us. They all of us eat first before them. Ummi and Abi love to drink goat milk. Today I couldn't bring it for them on time because of my exams. I would really like them to drink this milk, as there's not much milk. Today, I promise I'll give you all the leftovers, but I really can't give you the milk before them. I would really like them to drink it before to their heart's content. Soon, baby Habib fell asleep in my lap. I slowly left him in the bed and silently stood next to my parents' bed all night long until they woke up. I presented to them the milk until they drank to their full. Oh Allah, the all-hearing one, who hears the call of everyone, hear my call. You know I did that only for your sake, so that you can be happy with me. Please help us, Allah.
Not too long after this dua, the rock moved a little.
Alhamdulillah! Allahu Akbar! The rock moved again. Allah is As-Sami'. He heard us again. But the gap is still not enough for us to pass through. Abdul Hakim, you didn't make any dua yet. It's your turn to ask Allah for help now,
said Abdul Karim. Soon Abdul Hakim raised his hands in humility, knowing that Al-Basir, As-Sami'a, is watching and listening to him. He said,
Ya As-Sami'a Al-Basir, Allah, the one who hears and sees everything, hear my dua. One day, I hurt my foot real bad, and I couldn't do grocery shopping for my family. I saw three friends of mine and asked them for help. I told each one of them few things that they should buy for me in return, and I'll give them a bunch of my yummy cherries. They all dropped off my groceries at home while I was resting to recover from my fracture. Two of my friends came inside to collect their cherries, but I never saw the third friend since. I kept waiting, but he didn't come. I did not eat his cherry out of fear of you, Ya Allah. I did not want to break my promise. Then, one day, I thought of an idea. I planted the seeds of his share outside, near my house. Soon the cherry trees grew and produced so many cherries, the garden was full of them. But I never ate any of those cherries because they were my friend's share. One day, I ran into that friend and reminded him about his share of cherries for helping me. I gave him a bunch of cherries and showed him the whole garden of cherries with several trees that belonged to him. He was very happy, and so was I. Ya As-Sami'a, you know that I planted all those cherries only to make you happy, and I didn't take anything from his share only because of fear of you, Ya Rabb. Please help me, Ya Allah.
Suddenly, the rock at the entrance of the cave moved more, and this time there was enough space to get out of the cave. Each of the boys shouted,
Allahu Akbar!
Allahu Akbar!
Allahu Akbar!
All the boys stepped out of the cave, one by one. The rain had stopped and the sun was shining bright. While they were going out of the cave, they each found a badge with the word As-Sami'a written on it.
As-Sami'a, the all-hearing. You say it. As-Sami'a. As-Sami'a, the all-hearing one. He listens to everyone who calls upon him, whether loudly or in secret. He can hear everyone.
The boys quickly ran home and showed the badges they had just found to their parents. Now remember, whenever you are in trouble or you need anything, ask As-Sami'a. He will listen to you and answer your prayer. The end. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, that was an amazing story. And I know that, you know that whenever we want anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or, you know, from anyone, let's say somebody has something and we like it and we really want it for ourselves, then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm sure everyone knows this, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ability to do anything, right? So never think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot do this, or you can't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for more of something, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do anything. And all of us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people won't listen to you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He can always hear you, inshallah. Alright, so I hope everybody enjoyed today's session, and inshallah, I hope to see you all tomorrow for another session. إن شاء الله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته